Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've already confessed this morning 19 articles, most of them from the Augsburg Confession in English. Just as Dr. Christian Beyer confessed those same articles in German before Emperor Charles V 487 years ago today in the year 1530. There are two more articles in this first main section of the Augsburg Confession, followed by seven more articles that deal with the corrections that the Lutherans made to some abuses that were going on that Rome had introduced. Now, for the sake of time, and also because Article 20 brings us to a perfect climax for today's celebration of the Augsburg Confession, let me read to you just one more article, Article 20, Good Works. Our churches are falsely accused of forbidding good works, for their publications on the Ten Commandments and other writings demonstrate that they have provided a useful account and admonition concerning true Christian estates and works, of which little was taught before now. Instead, people were driven in almost every sermon to childish, useless works, such as rosaries, the worship of saints, becoming monks, making pilgrimages, observing appointed fasts, holy days, brotherhoods, etc. Our counterparts no longer praise such useless works quite as highly as before. In addition, they have also now learned to speak about faith, which they never used to preach about at all. But now they teach that we do not become righteous before God by works alone. They add faith in Christ to it. Faith and works make us righteous before God, they say. This way of speaking may bring more comfort than teaching people to rely solely on works. Now, since the teaching about faith, which is the chief part in the Christian life, has not been promoted, as must be admitted, but only the teaching of works has been preached in every place, this is the instruction about faith that has taken place among us. First, that our works cannot reconcile us with God or gain favor with Him. Rather, this happens only through faith. If a person believes that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who alone is the mediator to appease the Father, whoever pretends to achieve this and to merit grace through works despises Christ and seeks his own way to God, contrary to the gospel. This teaching about faith is openly and clearly treated by Paul in many passages, especially in Ephesians 2. By grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not by works, so that no one should boast, etc. It can be demonstrated from Augustine that no new understanding is being introduced in this matter. He diligently treats this subject and also teaches the same thing, that we obtain grace and become righteous before God through faith in Christ and not through works, as his entire book on the Spirit and the Letter proves. Although this teaching is sorely despised by inexperienced people, it is found to be highly comforting and salutary to the poor, terrified consciences. For the conscience cannot find rest and peace through works, but only through faith, if it concludes for itself with certainty that it has a gracious God for Christ's sake. As Paul also says in Romans 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have rest and peace with God. This comfort was not formerly promoted in sermons, but the poor consciences were driven to their own works and instructed in various kinds of works. Some were driven by their conscience into monasteries with the hope of gaining favor there through the monastic life. Some invented other works with which to merit grace and make satisfaction for sins. Many of these learned from experience that peace was not attained by these things. Therefore, it became necessary to preach and diligently to promote this teaching about faith in Christ, so that it may be known that God's grace is grasped only through faith, apart from merit. People are also instructed that we are not referring here to the kind of faith that the demons and the wicked also have. They too believe the history that Christ suffered and rose again from the dead. Rather, we are referring to true faith, which believes that we obtain grace and forgiveness of sins through Christ, and which now knows that it has a gracious God through Christ. Thus it knows God, calls upon Him, and is not without God, as are the heathen. For the devil and the wicked do not believe this article, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore they are hostile to God, unable to call upon Him or hope for any good from Him. As noted above, this is how the Scripture speaks about faith and does not call faith that knowledge that the demons and wicked men have. For this is what is taught about faith in Hebrews 11, that faith is not only to know the history, but to have confidence in God, to accept His promises. And Augustine also reminds us that we should understand the word faith in the Scriptures to mean confidence in God, that He is gracious to us, and not only to mean knowing the history as the demons also know it. It is further taught that good work should and must be done. Not that one should trust in them in order to merit grace by them, but they should be done for God's sake and to His praise. Faith always grasps only grace and the forgiveness of sins. And since the Holy Spirit is given through faith, the heart is also thus inclined to do good works. For before this, when it is without the Holy Spirit, it is too weak. In addition, it is under the control of the devil, who drives the poor human nature to many sins, as we see in the philosophers, who undertook to live honorable, blameless lives, and yet they did not accomplish it, but fell into many great and manifest sins. So it goes with man. If, lacking true faith, he is without the Holy Spirit and is governed only by his own human powers. For this reason, the teaching about faith is not to be reproved as forbidding good works, but should rather be praised for teaching that good works are to be done, and for offering help by showing how a person may accomplish good works. For apart from faith and outside of Christ, human nature and abilities are far too weak to do good works, to call upon God, to endure suffering with patience, to love the neighbor, to carry out one's assigned duties with diligence, to be obedient, to avoid evil desires. Such lofty and genuine works cannot be done without the help of Christ, as He Himself says in John chapter 15, "Apart from Me, you can do nothing." Here ends the reading. And so it's fitting to end it here. As Article 20 ends with the words that you also heard from Jesus in today's specially appointed gospel. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." That gets at the heart of the whole Lutheran Reformation and of the controversy that existed at that time and still today between the Lutheran Church and the Roman Church, and really also the controversy between the Lutheran Church and the Anabaptists and later the Reformed, which still exist today. It's all about abiding in Christ. To the Romans, it wasn't enough to abide in Christ by faith. You abided in Christ only by faith plus works. And so you hoped that by doing good works together with faith throughout your life, working hard, following the rules, you hope that maybe someday, eventually, at the end of your life, you have deserved eternal life. You have deserved forgiveness. You have deserved not to go to hell or purgatory. That's your hope. But they were taught, you can't even count on that. You can never know for sure if you have forgiveness, if you have salvation. And so the Lutheran Church taught, no, to be in Christ by faith is to have all of Christ's gifts. To abide in Christ by faith is to have the forgiveness of sins, to have righteousness, because it's the righteousness of Christ. To trust in Christ, to have confidence in Christ, is to have a gracious Father in heaven already now, so that you don't have to worry about how God judges you. By faith in Christ, His judgment is pronounced. You are innocent. You are righteous for Christ's sake and for His sake alone. Your works don't earn His favor. Your works don't earn heaven. Your works don't make salvation more certain for you. And so justification, as the Lutherans taught, comes now by faith in Christ, when you're grafted into Him as the true vine and you as the branches. You are in Him and you have what He has now, before any works are produced. And Rome said, see, you Lutherans, you're condemning good works. You're saying they're not even important. And as you heard, no, that's never what we said. Of course they're important. Jesus tells us how important they are in John chapter 15, in the gospel you heard today. But what comes first is being grafted into Christ by faith. It's that connection by which all works are produced, all that is called good. And it is a true faith that always produces those works. So when Jesus talks about a branch in me that doesn't bear good fruit, He's saying that branch is one who no longer has true faith in me. That's why it doesn't produce fruit. It's not like the faith plus the works equal salvation. It's that true faith produces justification. And then that always produces the good fruits as a result, as the product of faith, as the product that is enabled by Christ dwelling in us. Abide in me and I in you. That was the sticking point, the main one between the Lutherans and the Romans. All the other things revolve around that. And between the Lutherans and the Anabaptists and pretty much everyone else, the sticking point was, how do we come to abide in Christ in the first place? Where does faith come from, and how does one continue to abide in Christ until the end? The Anabaptist said that God works directly on people without the ministry, without the means of grace, that baptism gives nothing, that the Lord's Supper gives nothing but bread and wine, that the gospel preached is good and well, but that's not God's voice speaking to you. You must hear some kind of inner voice telling you. You must hear the Holy Spirit somewhere else, apart from what is preached to you, apart from the sacraments. And the Lutherans said, no. God has tied His Holy Spirit's work to the Word of God that is preached and to the sacraments, that baptism gives and works the forgiveness of sins, that the Holy Supper feeds God's branches so that they may abide in the vine throughout this life, until the end. The means of grace was a hallmark of the Lutheran confession from the beginning, and it's still our confession today. We've heard a lot of God's truth spoken today. You've confessed it. We won't dwell on it today. We'll have a longer sermon at the time of the Reformation when we celebrate the 500th anniversary of that this year. But as I hope you can see from what you've confessed today from the Augsburg Confession, everything that was confessed at Augsburg was for the purpose of being faithful to the Holy Scriptures, so that sinners can have confidence before God, so that sinners can have comfort, and ultimately so that sinners can have Christ and abide in Christ, and so have all the eternal benefits that Christ earned for us. May we too abide in Christ Jesus our Lord by faith. And may the words which we have confessed today be our confession before God and before the world. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, as St. Paul wrote, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.